Tony Broom Ministries presents the following sermon with a one-word title, Reconciliation.
It's taken me all these years to really even begin to understand what happened to me and what is happening to me as a born-again person. I thought when I first got saved, man, I'm saved. I know what it is to be saved. Well, I'm still finding out what it is to be saved. It just gets gooder and gooder every day. If you think that just because, well, I'm saved now, I'm be sanctified, I'm through with being saved. No, you'll never be through with being saved. Even though sanctification, baptism, the Holy Spirit, all that's a different experience, but it's all part of the big package. When you get salvation, you got access to all of it. And there's a whole lot of good things that happens to us in the Christian life just because we're saved. The song by Sela said, I got saved. And the idea is, I got saved and I'm overwhelmed by the goodness of the Lord. I'm overwhelmed by His mercy. And I just don't hardly know what to do with myself because I got saved. It's just everything is just different. Everything is better. When things seem bad, and I know there's a lot of badness going on right now. But when you look around you and things seem so bad, just think how good it is to be saved. Amen. All that badness just goes away. Jesus said you can speak with the tongues, or Paul did. You can speak with the tongues of men and angels and all the prophecy and faith. If you don't have love, you don't have anything. Amen. Jesus said that demons can even be subject to you. But don't rejoice in that. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
To have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Hallelujah.
Your name may not mean much of anything down here, but when you get there, your name is called out. Just the pure fact that you are there means that your name is in the book. If your name was not in the book, you wouldn't even be there. And when the people are there whose names are not written in the book, that's a bad time to be there. If you're there then, that's a bad time to be there. You don't want to be there then. That white throne judgment of God. You want to be there before that Christian judgment. That time when He raptures us up into the sky.
Amen.
We'll go to be with Him. Well, there's so many people who need to be brought back together with God. This message is about reconciliation. The importance of reconciliation. To reconcile means to bring back into agreement. We've been out of agreement. God and man used to be agreement, walking in the cool in the Garden of Eden. And then sin came in the picture, and we fell out of fellowship. We fell out of agreement. We're not in agreement anymore. One of the things that is so heart-wrenching in our country today, no matter how sick people get, no matter how many people die, it's not bringing people back into agreement. Seems like they're going further and further apart from each other. There's division in political parties. There's division in values. There's division in policy. Division, all kind of division. And they say, well, let's just get together. Let's be in unity. The Bible said, how can you be in unity? How can you walk together in unity unless you agree with one another?
Amen.
You can't walk in unity with someone who believes a man ought to marry a man and a woman ought to marry a woman, and we ought to kill our unborn babies without them having a voice to say anything about it. You can't walk in agreement with somebody like that.
Amen.
You can't walk in agreement with people who are against the God that you serve. They don't want you to have any relationship with God. They want you to listen to them. And any religion goes, any God goes. You can't walk in agreement with people like that. God wants to bring us back into agreement, back into harmony, back into relationship. Relationship is important to God. It's so important that He was willing to make covenant with people who didn't even know their left hand from their right hand hardly. They didn't know which end was up, but God loves us so much that He's willing to make covenant with us. And He tried to make covenant with the old covenant, with Israel, and they broke His covenant. God made covenant with Abraham. He said, I'll make a covenant with you. Abraham was true to the covenant, and his direct descendants were true to the covenant. But as they got on down the line, they began to go away from God, and they broke the covenant. And their relationship with God was hampered, and it was damaged. God believes in relationship.
Amen.
It's so important. That's why he sent Jesus, so he could have a relationship with us. Amen. It's so much more than religion. It has nothing in the world to do with religion whatsoever.
Sure.
We're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship.
Amen.
With God, a personal relationship. And he sends a person, a human, one of us, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He comes to bring us into fellowship with God, to bring us into relationship with God. And it's so important. That's what God did, to reconcile the world to himself so we could have relationship with God again. Sin got in the way. We listened to the devil instead of God, and our relationship was broken. But now Jesus Christ comes and he gives us life, and we have that relationship with God again. Relationship is so important that he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. So you bring a gift to offer to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind, you remember it, that something is not right between you and he, or you and she. And God brings it to your mind. You realize that things have not been made right between you and your brother, you and your sister. He says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. They, in their religion, thought, if you give a gift to God, that makes everything all right. That's the most important thing you can do, is just bring an offering to God. After all, the law said, you give this, you do that, you have the meal offering, you have the meat offering, you have the drink offering, you have the lamb, you have the sacrifice for sin, all these offerings. So we can just bring one of these offerings, everything will be covered and taken care of. I can keep on living the way I want to live. Christians do that now, not in offering or sacrifice, but we do that, not we, but people in general do. They do that in what is called hyper grace. They use grace out of whack, out of context. Grace was never meant to be used like that. Grace doesn't mean that you can keep on sinning and doing what you want to and it'll take care of it. Grace means that if we who are dead to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? Grace makes it possible that you don't have to sin.
Amen.
Right.
That's what grace does.
Yes. Amen.
The gift is important, but the gift is not nearly as important as relationship. He said, leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. Being right with your brother or sister is more important than trying to impress God with a gift. Even if that gift is a large charitable contribution and does a lot of good to help many people, it is of no value in the kingdom of God if it is wrapped in pretty papers of deceit and tied with bows of hatred. We can say, look at that package, it's beautiful. But that package can be wrapped in paper of deceit, tied with ribbons and bows of hatred. It doesn't do any good. You can give a large contribution, and many people do, and it helps people. People need, especially in the time that we live, they need sustenance, they need money, and they need things. And many of these pop stars and sports stars and all these people that have large amounts of money, they give to charity, and it helps a lot. But it doesn't buy them 5 cents in the kingdom of God. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't matter how much money you give. God is not impressed with the amount of money. He wants us to be reconciled and to be right with each other.
Amen.
You can't do deceit and cover it up. You wonder why in the world people are having problems and things that are going on in our country. You can fraud, you can steal, and you can cover it up, and you wonder why in the world people are having such a problem with that. Well, crookedness comes to bite you.
Yeah.
Right.
Chickens come home to roost.
Yeah.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah.
It's important that we as God's people have proper relationship with each other.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that we have to agree on every little hair, every little thing, but we can agree no matter if we disagree, because we have already agreed on the main thing, and that is that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. If we're all born again by the Spirit of God, we're all baptized into the body of Christ, we're partakers of the Holy Spirit, and we are together in this thing called salvation, we can have a relationship. Nothing should be able to take us apart because we're all born again. How can I be mad and angry at you when you're my brother in Christ? I'm hurting myself. I might as well bite myself on the arm and see how bad it hurts. If I'm going to do you that way and undermine you and go against you. Because if I'm doing you bad, I'm doing myself bad because we're all part of the body. Relationship is important. Relationship is part of being reconciled. If people would come together as one and be reconciled again and come together, because you cannot make it to heaven having hatred in your heart with a brother or sister in Christ. The scripture tells us, if we love not our brother whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen? We can say that we love God, but the way that we show that we love God is by loving each other. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. It's important to be reconciled in our relationships. Redemption. This thing about redemption is all about reconciliation. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If God was willing to forgive us and save us when we were his enemies, just think of how he wants to lavish blessing upon us now that we are reconciled to him and are his redeemed children. If God was willing to save you and he loved you and he was willing to save you when you were his enemy, just think of what he can do for you now that you're his worshiper. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If his death reconciled us when we were enemies of God, just think of what his life can do for us now that we are friends of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If we were his enemies and he was able to save us, and you say, well, the devil keeps me from doing this, and sin all around keeps me from doing that, it doesn't stop God from working. I know when sin is in the church camp, it can stop God from moving and working, but sin is always in the world. You were in sin. I was in sin. It didn't stop God from saving us. So if that didn't stop God from saving us, nothing can stop God from doing what he wants to do in our life now. If when we were enemies, we were able to be brought back together and reconciled to God by the death of his Son, by believing in Jesus and putting our faith and trust in him, much more now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is redemption. It's good to know that you're redeemed, that you have a relationship with God, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you've been reconciled with God. You don't have to die in sin. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to spend eternity away from God because you've been reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and you're now being saved by his life, and you're living in the sunshine of his mercy and grace. Amen. This thing about reconciliation is all right. Righteousness, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God. That means that even though everything might not be looking like it, God is still in ultimate control. He is still sovereign. He may not be being allowed to control a lot of things that are going on, but he's still God, and he still rules over the heaven and the earth. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's how we got reconciled to God, is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only am I saved, but I have now been passed on the benefits of salvation, and I can help somebody else be saved. Amen. We have been reconciled, and God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God called the disciples. He told Peter and James and John and all of them, he said, follow me, Jesus did. And when they followed him, he showed them how. He went about healing, he went about preaching, he went about doing good. And then he told the disciples, you go and do what I've done. Go and do the works that I've done. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. He told them, you do exactly what you've seen me do. And you teach others to do those things that I commanded you. Passing it on. The little song that we all learned coming up in church, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, pass it on. God's love, keep on passing it on. That's the way it is. He saved them. They preached. The early church started. The early church preached. Other people got saved. And somehow or another, it came down to us. We heard the gospel. We got saved. And now we're passing it on to others. Amen. That's what this ministry of reconciliation is all about.
Amen.
The song said, if not me, then who? If not you, if not me and you, then who?
Right.
It's got to be us. We're the ones who are living in this generation. We can't look up and say, Lord, send Paul down. Lord, send Peter down. No, they've already been here. They've had their time on this earth. They wouldn't come back for a million cans of money. They wouldn't come back for nothing in the world. We have the opportunity. We don't have to call down a saint from heaven. We're the saints on earth.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't say bombard to heaven and make heaven come down. He said, pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
If we bring forth and manifest the will of God on earth, God will back us up in heaven.
Yeah.
Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Yeah.
We are reconciled, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit or to know or to even think that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God was in Christ. When Jesus was walking here on this earth, God was in him because Emmanuel, God with us. God was in Jesus, because Jesus is God. God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. And in our way of thinking, God didn't say this, but it was like saying, how in the world can I get the world to be reconciled to me? I know what I'll do. I'll go in the person of my son, and I'll reconcile the world to me myself. I'll bring the world back to me. The only way he could is through Jesus.
Amen.
Many of you have heard the story, Paul Harvey story, and that's the rest of the story, you know. The Paul Harvey story about the man and the birds tried to get the birds to go in the barn, and they went away from him. They were afraid of him. He shooed them in, tried to run them in, and he said, it will not work. The only way that I can let them know that they don't have to be afraid of me if I become a bird myself. And it hit him. That's what my wife, that's what everybody's been trying to tell me. God became a man himself in the flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. God becomes one of us. And that's the way that he can let the birds go into the barn. And with the church bells ringing, the snow on the ground, the man sinks to his knees in the snow and he gets right with God. If you've never heard that story, it's a good one. If somebody made it up, they sure made up a good one. If it's true, it's still a good one. Better than a lot of made up news you hear on television.
Amen.
At least it's got a good ending. Somebody got saved.
Amen.
God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Our sin is against us, but all we have to do to cancel out that debt of sin is to come to God through Jesus Christ, and all that debt of sin is canceled and gone and done away with.
Amen.
All that burden of sin is rolled away. If you want your sin rolled away instead of held against you, all you got to do is come to God, and he'll take all that burden of sin away. You know why? I know he will. Because that sin has already been laid on Christ. He has already borne that sin, that heavy load of sin, sabal is a Hebrew word, that heavy load, he took it away. And it's gone. But you have to receive it. If we don't receive God through Christ, we have to bear that load of sin. It'll be dumped on us one of these days. The wrath of God, we'll have to suffer it. But if we want to get out from under all that, all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Have a relationship with God, and He will not impute your sin to you anymore. He will not put your sin on your account. Your account will be stamped, paid in full. Your account, the canvas of your account sheet, will be clean as a whistle. And you'll have a clean and an eternal life. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Not only do we have the ministry of reconciliation, but we have the word of reconciliation. What's that word? It's the word of God. It goes something like this, and the Holy Spirit can do your own, but in your life, but if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's all kinds of scriptures, but that's the word of reconciliation. Our message to people has become convoluted and complicated, and that's why people are not getting saved. Well, that's one reason. Some people are not getting saved just because they reject Christ, but that's not the big thing. The big thing that people are not getting saved is not simply because they reject Christ. Some of them don't have the opportunity to reject Christ because they haven't heard the right message. They've heard the message that says, come to our church, come to our youth group, come to our support ministry. That's just an invitation to come somewhere. Come and get a hot dog. Come and get a chicken leg. Well, that proves that's not all important because that's not being able to be done right now, but the message I'm talking about is still going out. Well, the message will really save you is come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have a hot dog. You may not have a chicken leg, but you can have eternal life by coming to Christ. This is a word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, the same way that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Now God is beseeching other people through us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This is the command. This is the invitation. Come back to God. Get right with God. Repent of your sins. Be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He who never knew sin, he who never did any sin, he was made sin. Not only did He take Saval, that heavy load of sin, but He actually became our sin. He was made sin. What an awful thing that was for someone who never even knew sin to actually become your and my sin. He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yeah. We who had no righteousness of our own are now made righteous with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Because I believe in Him and I put my faith and trust in Him, He stamps my account paid in full, righteous, not guilty. And I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ passed on to my account. Now, through the ministry of reconciliation, we have the humble yet glorious privilege of being ambassadors for Christ and helping others to become righteous by being reconciled to God. To help other people to see the same light that we have and be reconciled to God. This thing about reconciliation, reconciled, it's a wonderful thing. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 said, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ will save the vilest sinner. Amen. And we can be reconciled to God. He sent Christ to reconcile men and women and boys and girls to God. And He said, all things I say, He repeats it again, all things, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, to be brought back the way that God meant for it to be. God will bring this literal earth that we're walking on, the earth that received the blood of Christ dripping down to the ground, sanctifying the very ground. This earth will be brought back into the place where God meant for it to be to start with, before it was messed up by us when we sinned against God. He will bring this very creation back into pristine place, the place that God meant for it to be. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's why we preach the blood, and that's why we preach the cross. It's not a motivational speaking. It's not sell Amway products and make you feel good about yourself. We're talking about the blood of the Lamb of God. We're not ashamed of the blood. It's the blood that saves from sin. It's the blood that cleanses the life and the heart from sin. Blood is the only thing. And the cross. We're not ashamed of the cross. I will trade the old cross for a crown. One of these days, I'll bear the cross until I lay it down, and then I'll receive a crown. I'm not ashamed of the old rugged cross. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. He'll call me someday to my home far away. His glory forever I'll share. I'll cling to the old rugged cross. I'm not ashamed of the cross. I know it's battered and bloody and ugly and rugged, but I'm not ashamed of it. I don't worship the cross. I worship Jesus who hung on the cross, but it's because of the cross that I can find my way to Calvary. Because of the cross and because of the blood, having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's the only way we can have peace, through the blood and the cross. He's called us to peace. He's called us to righteousness. He's called us to glory. That's the way we can have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He brought us under the cross. He brought us under the shadow of the cross and the blood that was shed so everybody can get in on this thing, so everybody can be saved and get right with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Things in earth, things in heaven, He brings it all back into one. You that were sometime alienated, you were enemies in your mind by wicked works, serving the devil, Satan, and sin, all blinded by the things of this world. Yet now has He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. God wants to present us pure and holy before the Lamb of God, and the bride of Christ, the church, will be in heaven with our Lord. Oh, hasten the day when people, places, and all things will be reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His wonderful name. Reconciliation is what our country needs. It's what our world needs. It's what many churches need. It's what pastors need. Preachers who have gotten hardened by the things that have come against them. The things, sometimes they cause it, sometimes they not their fault, but they've been hardened by these things. And preachers need to be softened by the blood again, by the cross, and get back to preaching the cross, preaching the blood, preaching the old time religion that will still save. It will still do you when you're dying. And it's good for the church house. It's good for your house. It's good for the White House. It's good for my house. It's good for every house. It's the same way that we were saved. The same way that we came to God is the same way that many others will be brought to God. Be reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Lord, I want to thank You for the opportunity to be in this place today. And thank You, Lord, for Your word of reconciliation. It's good enough and powerful enough to save and to reconcile and to bring back into one brothers and sisters who have fallen out with each other, to bring back into one families who have fallen out with each other. Be like John the Baptist and bring the fathers back to the children and children back to their fathers. It's done through Jesus Christ. We who are far away from You and away from God, enemies by wicked works in our mind, You have brought us together with You again. And we thank You, Lord, that we have peace in our heart through our Lord Jesus Christ. It feels good to be right with God. It feels good to be reconciled with God. And I pray that many would come back into this reconciliation, to be brought back together with God. We'll praise You and give You glory for every soul that's saved in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon entitled Reconciliation. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. Be reconciled to God while you have the opportunity today. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.